Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help you optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. Over 130,000 companies, including my own, have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. I've talked to a lot of amazing people on this podcast, but if you're like me, you want to go deeper. So where can you go to learn from the most remarkable people? That's Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Every new Masterclass membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk to try. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. Masterclass.com/ratchet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Okay, can everyone hear me? Yes? Awesome. Welcome to our live recording of Ratchet and Respectable. Hey, I'm your semi-host, Mercy Chikawori, of Mercy CPR. So a little housekeeping. This is a live podcast recording. That's what you signed up for. So you're going to turn your phone on silent. Bae can hit you up later. I do want to give a huge shout out to Eaton for opening their doors for us. Thank you to the Wild Days crew. Tip your bartender. I know y'all got free drinks, but tip your bartender. Shout out to Remy Martin. This is my friend here, Sherm. He's the one who swiped his card today. Thank you, Sherm. Thank you. Stand up. And also just to note, Demetria hit me up on voice notes because that's our thing now and said, I want to do a live taping in DC. I was like, say less. So thankful to everyone in the room who made it happen. Thank you. Thank you. And more importantly, it is Women's History Month. So we rallied and wrapped these flowers for you because we wanted to give you your flowers too. So, I mean, this is just a testament to the power of women and black women. Shout out to us. Shout out to Victoria and Morgan for wrapping the flowers and helping me and all of our servers who helped wrap the flowers. So hopefully if no one gives you your flowers, we did. I'm just going to do very short introductions. Do y'all know Angel? Okay. She's spicy. You know what I mean? Okay. Does anyone know Demetria? Okay, cool. My job is done. They are great. They are both world-renowned. I don't know if y'all saw Demetria's latest special on NBC Washington. It takes a certain kind of person to move to Africa. And I'm African, so I can say that. But no, we're going to get started. I will stop talking. Please use the hashtag Ratchet and Respectable. Have a great time. Again, for those at the bar, find a seat. We're about to record. And let me just welcome our beautiful ladies. Please look at their outfits, their shoes. The shoes are shoeing, okay? Angel and Demetria, please come to the stage.
Thank you. Hello, ladies. Hi. Let me send a special shout out to Eaton, obviously, for hosting us, and also to Remy. Thank you, because I was like, we need a venue and we need drinks. And they were like, we have both. Shout out to my co-host. Is that what you are for the day, I think?
I'm with it.
Like, I appreciate you, because I called you and was like, hey, so I'm doing this event. And like, can you come? And she was like, yeah. And that was that. Yes. And then shout out to obviously you ladies. You look so beautiful. And I know everybody says that for like events and things, but like I've been overseas for a really long time and I'm not used to American accents anymore or home accents because Maryland has this very special thing. Maryland, exactly. When I'm home, I revert. But no, it's really, really good to be home and to be back in this space. So I appreciate you and thank you so much for coming out. It's very weird for me, like I have to say. Usually when I tape this podcast, I'm like in my soft clothes and it's really late at night. And like my hair is in Sealy twists, and sometimes I have like a blanket or a hotel bathrobe over my head because like the acoustics and all the different places that I record, I've probably been in 20 countries and I have no idea how many cities over the last couple years. But I record the podcast from everywhere and I'm never in heels or fur or dresses or in an audience full of people. So this is very, very odd to me. So I hope that it's not odd to you. Although people hear me speak when I'm here and they'd be like, are you the girl with the podcast? Yes, it's me. And it's like a voice is coming out of the speaker, but it's not the speaker, but it's like a person. And I'm like, I'm a person. It's very odd. Yes. So thank you for coming. I really appreciate you. And thank you.
Always.
Always. So I've known you for 4 years. How old is your daughter?
No, she's five.
She's five? Okay, so longer. So when I met you, you were like the size you are now, and you were like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, this, okay, oh, sure, whatever. I was like, I don't really understand this concept. But, like, we met, and we hit it off, like, super fast. Yeah. And our mutual friend, Jordan, gave me, like, your rundown of your backstory. And so she was like, yeah, she sells spices. And I was like, wait, how does that happen? Like, how does that work? And when I asked you about it, you were like, yeah, I was walking down the street one day and there was a store that was available for rent. And I just, you know, decided, I think I'll like take it. Yeah. Is that really the story?
That's the story. And then that was 8 years ago, 2 years ago, similar story. I decided that I wanted to purchase a space. And so I called up my homegirl, Tonetta, in the audience. And my my ear in the audience. And I said, I need a space and I want to buy something. And I saw a commercial space. And so Tonetta became a commercial agent overnight.
I love it.
And my ear was already a real estate attorney. And so she, of course, decided to join me on the deal. I called on Fallon, who I think is also in here. She's an architect. And just some black girls that I know who are magical. And I said, let's do this. I want to purchase.
So I guess my weird question for you is, like, where do you get, for lack of a better word, I think the audacity, because I think I get emails in my inbox every day, like how do you just like up and decide to like move overseas or whatever? But I ask you, like, how do you decide, you know, like I pass by a space and I want to buy it. And like, I'm a sell spices. Did you have any experience selling spices?
I did not. I did not. I had no idea what I was doing. And I don't know. I think the audacity just comes from me really thinking, like, why not? Right? Like, what could it hurt to try it? Right? If I have an idea, I act on things pretty quickly. I'm pretty impulsive in life generally. I'm also just generally a rule breaker. I never really played by the rules. Those of you who know me since high school know we had a dress code. I always bucked the dress code. I never did what I was supposed to do. And I found peace and I found excitement in breaking rules. And so in adulthood, rule breaking feels audacious, right? And rule breaking feels, groundbreaking almost, right? To do these like legendary, epic, iconic things. But for me, it's just an extension of this rebellious little girl now being a grown up rebel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Because you know that's not like the average person. Like the average person is like, oh, what will people think?
Yeah.
Or I can't do X. Like there are limits. Like people have to break through those things. And you just seem to like, fuck it, I do it.
And I think, you know, when I thought about that question and what I realized most recently is I think that my ability to do things and not worry about what people would think comes from a really unfortunate space of having been raised by people who didn't think much of me, right? So because I was raised by people who didn't really care what I did, I never cared what I did. I did whatever I wanted to do because nobody was at home to check me. Nobody was at home to reprimand me. Nobody was making sure I did my homework. Like I did whatever I wanted to do. So I'm used to doing things how I want to do it. So out of this very broken, you know, childhood, very difficult childhood came this resilient, you know, and I know one of my homegirls, I'm so tired, Jerry's like, I'm so tired of the word resilient. And I'm tired of it too, but right, for lack of a better word, it grew this resilience in me and this desire to continue to do what I wanted to do because I don't really care what people think because for so long, nobody thought anything of me.
Yeah. Woo. We're off to a start. That's a start.
Fix your fur.
I love that I called you and I was like, are you wearing sequins or fur? Because it's one or the other.
You
like,
literally did.
That's what you do. One of the things that I love about our friendship is like you say you're going to do something and then you do it. So I knew about Black and Forth like 3 years, 4 years prior. And you were like, yeah, so I'm thinking about building a strip mall. And I was like, yeah, okay, girl. And then you were like, yeah, so I bought this space. And I was like, oh, okay, girl. And you were like, yeah. So next time I was in town, because I was living in LA at the time, yeah. And you were like, yeah, come see the space. Like, we broke ground. And I was like, oh, okay, girl. Like, we're really doing this. The follow through, the push, like, people have big ideas, but everybody doesn't chase their dreams. Where does that come from?
I have no choice but to figure it out. There's nobody to fall back on.
That part.
Right? Like, I don't have a mother I can call to loan me money. I don't have a family house that I can go to if I foreclose on the house. Like, there's nowhere for me to go. There is no safety net. I'm grateful that my friends are like family. So I know when I say that, I know my friends are like, girl, you can come to my house. Right? And I receive it and I love that. But I don't have the safety net that most people have. So there's this innate like grind in me. You know, and for people who know, I've told my story and talked about my family history and background, right? I have two brothers serving life in prison. Mother and father been incarcerated. Third brother also been in prison. I'm the only person in my immediate family who's not been in prison before. And so as an adult, I'm always thinking about, like, why me? Like, I never touched the justice system in the way that they have. And I realized that it could be, though, because we're so similar. Like, I have the same grind, grit, hustle that my brothers have. I have the same, like, street kind of instincts that they have, right? Like, I'm very comfortable in a favela in Brazil, mm-hmm. right? In the hood in Southeast. Like, I really feel comfortable there because the people that I love most are the people reflected in those spaces. And so I think the grind and the audacity and all these things that make up who I am really come from this, like, toughness that I had to develop that I bury. Sometimes, and I think, you know, people see this like softer, friendlier outside, but I'm really not. I really am not super social. I'm really not extroverted. I just know how to move in spaces to protect myself.
I love that. No, I've said for years, I was like, there's really no difference between quote unquote illegal business and legal business. It's all the same thing. It's just, how do you apply it?
Literally. Like, I posted something on my personal page that's private earlier today.
Wait,
one of my staff.
Do I follow you on your personal?
You do.
Okay.
You
all
do.
Right. Just checking.
One of my staff, he texted me earlier a picture of some spices I bought back from Brazil, and he put 1.5 grams in each bag, right? And I eyeballed it and I said, that's 1.5. Yeah. Right? And I was like, and he sent back LOL and we both laughed at it and we continued to text about it. And he was like, we going to jail. And I was like, but I know what 1.5 grams is. I know what it looks like. So even when I travel, I'm like, I need a kilo of spices. And I literally can look at it, right? And I've been, you know, I travel too, right? I've been to, 36 countries now. And I can look at the scale and I'm like, that's not a key. I need you to weigh that again, right? And I've done it. And they'll weigh it again and they're like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, no, you're not sorry. You tried to get over. You owe me like 5 grams. I can see it. So I'm grateful for my background and my upbringing that has allowed me to eyeball work.
No, the hustle is real. Like, I was driving over here, like, listening to Rick Ross, and I was like, every day I'm hustling, every day. Like, I just did this big merch drop, and, like, we're selling T-shirts, right? So it's not kilos and whatnot, but we do weigh them on a scale, because it does matter, like, the pound versus the two versus over two on, like, what the postage is. Like, I think about these things. But yes, I get it. How was Brazil?
Brazil was beautiful.
Would you love most? Girl, I want to ask so many questions. Who was you in Brazil with?
Brazil was beautiful.
Okay. That tells me everything I need to know.
I encourage you to go to Brazil, visit the favelas, to visit Copacabana Beach. It's
beautiful
one of the
beaches.
Most world-renowned beaches.
Beautiful beaches.
I mean, we hiked the waterfall to taste spring water. And we, all the people that were there, all the Brazilians.
The Brazilians.
All of the Brazilians.
That's who we represent.
The Brazilian people.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. I mean, in 2024, I thought we were better about pronouns. We. All of us.
We.
He,
we,
her, him, she, they, we.
We, they, he, she. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
It's not a safe space.
It is a safe space. It's just you and me.
It's just you and me.
It is. Just, we'll pretend it is.
No, like, let's just say something different.
It's you, me, the first. It's fine.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Fine. I saw the AK-47 in your panorama.
Oh, wow. Yes, and I hid his face to protect the innocent.
Who did you go to the favela? Because I went and I had a guy. Did y'all just like roll up in there or?
Yeah, I know somebody. So actually, there's a girl.
Internationally known.
So I know somebody who knows somebody. So Maude, who's actually a world-renowned tap dancer, Chloe and Maude from D.C., amazing.
Okay.
Maude introduced me to a guy in Brazil, and so he showed all of us around Rio.
All of us. The multiple we.
Around Rio.
Okay. What's your favorite country to travel to?
So far, Tanzania. I've been a couple times and I love it there. Seychelles was on my bucket list, so I was really happy to be there. I don't know if I have favorites, right? Maldives was beautiful and I was really grateful to be there too. You know, I went on a girls trip. So that was fun because I feel like a lot of times, especially as women, right? So a lot of women in here, when we think about these like really beautiful scenic places like the Maldives, we're like, oh, I'm going to honeymoon there. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not against relationships. I believe we all love men, women, whoever you love, we love to be connected, right? But I was just really happy that me and two of my girlfriends decided mm-hmm. we're going to take ourselves to the Maldives, right? And we're going to treat ourselves to this romantic, you know, get away. And so I just urge people, as you do, right, to travel and see some world. See how I brought that back.
You brought that back full circle. I love that. I love that. Why was Tanzania your favorite?
It was just so black.
No one loves black people more than you.
I mean, like, y'all know I love black
people. You love black people.
I love us so much. But it was just so black and beautiful. The food, the water, you know, the spices. It was just all the things that I love in one place, and I didn't have to travel really far for them.
Yeah.
And so I just really enjoyed Tanzania a lot.
Okay.
A lot.
Where's on your bucket list? Because you said you've been to 36 countries, so where else do you want to go?
I got to come see you in Ghana.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's yes. It.
Yeah.
That's You've never it. Been to Ghana?
No.
We talked about
the,
this.
The yellow fever vaccine. I don't play with
the
these people
and
they medicine.
Okay. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Because I was having a conversation earlier today. My makeup artist is in the corner. And she was like, I want to go. But she was like, she got the vaccine thing, too. I didn't realize so many people were, like, anti.
Yeah. It's okay. I know some people that know some people. I'm going to get it. Yeah. I mean, we all got COVID cards. We can get a yellow fever card.
Wait. Do we all have random COVID cards?
Yeah.
Yes,
we all vaccinated.
Okay. Is that? You said that. You know we're being recorded, right?
Oh, yeah. Tell Fauci and them we made it.
Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help you optimize how you ship your orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. I've been using ShipStation for over 3 years, since the very start of my e-commerce business. I started with a free trial, and it was so easy to use, the setup was so quick, I decided to sign up, and I have no regrets. ShipStation is the most affordable way to ship everything you sell online. They have industry-leading discount rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post, with discounts up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. Over 130,000 companies, including my own, have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. What New Year purchases did you put on your credit card? Did you get supplies for a new semester at school? Or maybe you paid for a gym membership? No matter how you're starting off the year, when you use the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. If there were an overachieving credit card that helps you build credit, this would be it. When your credit's good, your future's also good. Plus, there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check to get started. With Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted, and you build credit using your own money. You can also access more than 60,000 fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. I also love that with Chime, I can pay my friends, whether they're Chime members or not. I can also cash out my money fee-free. Start building your credit. Open a Chime checking account with at least a $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/ratchet. That's chime.com/ratchet. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank North America or Stride Bank North America, members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and over-the-counter advance fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
So, like, as your friend, I've never researched you until we had to, like, be on stage together. And so I was like, oh, let me be, like, an informed person. I found an interview, and I don't remember who it was with, but you were talking about, like, you didn't have a struggle story for your entrepreneurship, right? Like, you were like, mm-hmm. I decided I wanted to do this thing, and, you know, I did my research, and I found some good people to connect with, and it kind of, like, all flowed. Let me back up. For the people who are not fully informed, you're an assistant principal.
I was.
And you decided to, what I would say, do, like, a full lane switch. Is it a full lane switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there were things that like crossed over. Mm. But you did a full lane switch and it worked easy or just wasn't hard?
So there are always going to be like things, right? In any journey, be it entrepreneurship or your 9-to-5 journey. First and foremost, I'm never the person who's encouraging people to quit their jobs and work for yourself. I think that's wild.
Insurance
I think
is
if
amazing.
You love what you do, then you should do that thing and do it well and enjoy it, right? I don't think everybody should be a business owner. But for me, when I would do interviews, people would always like inevitably ask, what's been the most difficult part of your journey? Or tell me about the challenges that you faced. And I would answer it. And I would typically just say, I haven't really had much challenge. And I'm not saying that to like brag and say that I like have done this thing perfectly. But I also know that I am a person who knows how to execute. And I don't stay in difficult spaces long. So yeah, there have been things that come up, but they've never lasted long enough that I recalled them during the interview to talk about them at length because it was like, oh yeah, that did right. Like if you pointed it out to me, like if my friends were like, well, remember this, then I say like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But I don't stay in things long. I feel like sometimes we get so attached to struggle, and sometimes I blame the black church because we be, you know, like, it's like, why we got to struggle so much, right? Like, why are we glorifying the struggle? Like, can we come up out of the struggle? Can we not be okay with struggle, right? Like, let's be okay with saying that it was easy, and that's okay. And I've learned that. And so now when I do interviews, I will tell the journalist, I'm not talking about the struggle story. Nobody's learning from my struggle story. You might feel a little more connected to me because we share the same struggle. But if you're really trying to succeed, nobody's going to buy a book to read about all the ways that you struggle, right? Like, you want to hear how you came out of it, what systems you put in place, what did you execute, what did you learn? I don't really want to hear about struggle, so I don't really want to talk about it. And that's not to dismiss it and say that I've not had any. They just haven't been significant enough that they've impacted my journey in a way that has derailed it.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, and not just in terms of business, but I feel like in terms of relationships, in terms of like overall culture, there is a, for lack of a better word, obsession.
Yeah.
With black people and struggle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being from this area, just looking at the women in this room, like, has there been things to overcome? Absolutely. Sure. But a lot of it is there was struggle, yes, but there was also success.
Sure.
And for whatever reasons, we don't like to talk about just the success. Like, sometimes we feel like it's gloating or it's not relatable just to speak about that. And I was like, no, I want success to be relatable. I want, like, I came up and you came up and you came up and you came up and you came
for
up.
Sure.
Like, I want that to be our narrative more than anything.
And especially in relationships, right?
Ooh,
like,
girl.
I mean, we talk about it in business, but I think too, you know, in a room full of black women, I think it's just so important to talk about, like, struggling in relationships and how we also need to not accept that. Like, walk away.
Don't waste your pretty.
I was about to bring it back. Don't waste your pretty, right? Because we just think that it's okay. And or we'll tell ourselves all the reasons why it's okay for us to struggle a little longer, right? Like, I mean, I've invested so much time in him. You know, we've been together for so long. We got kids. You know, we make up so many reasons why it's not a lot of men. The dating pool got pee in it. You know, all these, like, things that we hear. And so we, like, in our minds, it's like, well, yeah, I should probably just stay because we're scared to take risks. And look, you moved to a whole nother country, right? Like, you have also walked away from relationships and done things very publicly that I know have had to be hard for you. So I think you, better than most people, can speak to what it must be like, or what it takes to walk away.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done, mm-hmm. but also the best thing I've ever done. The life that I live now is the life that I dreamt of, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have been able to do that in my previous situation. It was very public. It was very messy. I don't really talk about the mess publicly because it was, you know, you got kids and all those things.
When you call it a situation, we know it was messy.
Well, yeah, the situation. It's like,
situation.
We knew, sis. We knew. We all knew.
Situation.
At the time, I couldn't fathom it, but in retrospect, like, I've got 5 or 6 years, actually longer than that on it now, 7 years now, it was something that I needed, quote unquote, to go through in order to become, like, the best version of myself.
Yeah.
And I think that I had this really great interview once with Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, we all did.
I mean, I'm a writer. I am a writer. Everyone knows I am a writer, right? Like, I interviewed her. Yeah. She was the cover of Essence. It's literally my first cover story for Essence. Just, man, you own a whole strip mall.
Go ahead.
Okay. Like, you're relatable. but no, like, I interviewed her and we got into I think I could tell this part of it because she's also said it publicly, but an off the record conversation about what happened with the Miss America pageant. And so I was going through a divorce at the time and she'd been married and divorced a few times and she'd gone through this very public debacle that I was, you know, dealing with. And I asked her and I was like, well, how did you figure this out? Like, how did you get from there and to being quote unquote disgraced to being hailed and praised in the way you are now? And she was like, I got through it. And she was like, I didn't go under, I didn't go around, I didn't go above, I didn't go underneath. She was like, I went through the fire. And she had the support of her family and her friends. And she was like, you know, the world I felt turned on me, but she was like, my father never did. She said her father said to her, he's like, well, you fucked that up. So some duty people who could be real. But then also he was like, well, what are we going to do to fix it? So, you know, that's important as well. So who is in your corner that tells you that, like, you know, well, you fucked that up?
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, so what are we going to do now?
All my friends, all the women in here that are my friends. Like, at this point in my life, I don't have relationships with anybody that I don't want to be in relationship with.
Yes.
And I can say that with so much confidence today that I probably couldn't have said even a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Every single relationship that I have is intentional.
Yeah.
It is on purpose and it is meaningful.
Yeah.
And because of that, I get that type of authenticity and love and respect and challenge in all of my relationships because that's all I want, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want anything less than that. Like, I don't do fake relationships. If we can't be really friends, then let's not be anything at all. And I'm cool with that. And I think sometimes we are so scared of being alone yes. that we will sacrifice anything for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole quantity over quality thing.
It's wild.
Like everybody wants to have somewhere to go or somebody to yeah. post with or... Do you travel solo? Do you do solo travels?
Yeah, I went to Brazil by myself. Next question.
Next question. Have you been anywhere other than Brazil solo?
That was a much better framing.
Okay. Continue. Answer the question.
I have not traveled by myself.
Really?
I've not. I've really? Not. And I don't know why I haven't. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't traveled by myself. Typically, though, my kids come with me, right? Yeah. Like, my kids have been to, my son has been to maybe 30, 29 countries.
He's 13.
He's 13. Yeah, my daughter's 5. She's been to 15, 16 countries.
No, so I take better that, you lives know. Than me. And on somebody else's yeah, dime, too.
I know.
Like, I pay for my shit.
Yeah, oh. Same.
No, that's. You want to adopt me?
Not quite.
I could nanny. I could earn my keep. I'm just saying. Okay. Where are your favorite places to go in the country?
I don't travel domestically a ton.
Oh, girl.
That was
like,
so.
I'm from D.C. There's
that was
no place
so
better.
Elitist and classist. It was elitist and classist and all the ifs. But I really, I've been to, recently I've gone to New York a few times on business mainly.
Okay.
To Miami on business mainly. And so
those
I've been
very businessy places.
Very businessy places. It's a lot happening in both of those cities.
Just visiting.
I travel, business, like New York, Atlanta, Miami have been like the
they have
places.
Spices there?
No.
Okay, just checking. Okay.
No. But I enjoy those cities. I spent the most time there. I really like New York, though. I enjoy New York. Actually, when I was most recently in New York for business. With Bloomingdale's. I attended a dinner after hosting an event. Me and Tika Sumter hosted an event for Bloomingdale's. And at the...
Because everyone does that.
At the dinner, it was a few, like, a lot of folks in the room. And I had dinner. Bevy Smith was at our table, who's
love
your
Bevy.
Good friend.
Yes, I love
and
Bevy.
And I never met her, but we had the best time ever. She invited me to come back to Harlem and hang out and do the things. So I haven't made it back, but I told her I'm coming in the summer.
Harlem
I know.
With Bevy.
She told me I have to come.
She promenades. Do you know what? She post up on like 125th.
She told me.
Okay.
She All told right. me. So okay. I'm going back to New York with Bevy.
Okay. This summer?
This summer.
Okay.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Heavy on the ratchet part, right?
I didn't say anything.
It's the thought.
Do you have anything you want to ask me or just... Because I was going to open it up to the crowd otherwise.
Yeah, I think we can ping pong. We can do
okay,
the crowd.
You see how she dodged that. Lovely. Okay.
I've talked to a lot of amazing people on this podcast. But if you're like me, you want to go deeper. So where can you go to learn from the most remarkable people? That's Masterclass. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors, so whether you want to master negotiation with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or create makeup looks for any moment with Sir John, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. There are over 200 masterclasses to pick from, with new classes added every month, like fashion design with Marc Jacobs, or creativity and leadership with Anna Wintour, modeling fundamentals with Naomi Campbell, which I'm not a model, but I now know how to pose like one. Every new Masterclass membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk to try. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/ratchet. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/ratchet. Masterclass.com/ratchet. Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that are simple in minutes, Home Chef has you and the entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef also has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And this is my favorite part. Not only is it convenient, but it's also economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/ratchet. That's homechef.com/ratchet for 18 fee-free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/ratchet. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Do we have a microphone for the audience? Or y'all can yell out and I can repeat it? Or use your outside voice. That's the option. Okay, I don't have my glasses on, so like you might have to stand up so I can see you. I was trying to be cute. Hi, in the window. Yes, ma'am. Let's get to the business.
Wow.
Get to the business. Do you like to cook
pulao? I'm going to let Demetria answer first, because I'm sure that was for her.
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm not really much of a cooker.
I enjoy cooking solo. I enjoy cooking solo. And I typically don't like record myself. And not typically, I never. Like, I've never had my face in the camera when I'm recording. Because I typically have music on and I'm cooking. It's not really about me. It's just to kind of show the food and the product really quickly. It's like business marketing at this point when I cook. But I do enjoy cooking. And nobody's in the kitchen when I'm cooking.
The kids are in the kitchen.
The kids are in the kitchen. Yes. The kids are definitely in the kitchen when I'm cooking. Y'all are terrible.
No, I mean, they got questions based on the answers you previously provided. That's all I'm saying. When did you learn to cook?
So I grew up with my grandmother and grandfather raised me. And my grandmother was very traditional. Like, she cooked most of the time. Like, 90% of the time we cooked. The other 10% was when she was, like, just telling us we got food at home, right? So that's where that part of my slogan came from. Because she would, bend sometimes and let us have outside food. But she cooked because there were so many of us. It was just cheaper to cook at home. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother, I can't say she taught me how to cook because she passed away. But she hated the way I cooked, right?
Like, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Your food is amazing.
What? My grandmother does not understand why my green beans are not soggy. Like, she couldn't understand. Like, some things were just culturally different, right? Like, she has this very deep Southern way of cooking that is a little bit different than the way that I cook, so she couldn't fully understand it. So I don't know that she taught me how to cook, but I learned the value of preparing meals for family by being raised by my grandmother, who always prepared meals for us. And so even now, when I cook, and the whole We Got Food at Home thing really is me trying to tell folks, one, it's just like this nod to, like, Black culture, right? And that's all hearing that growing up. But it's also me trying to encourage folks to, like, think twice before you go and pick something up and possibly prepare some food at home and create community and safety wherever, at home for whoever. If it's just you, if it's you and your kids, you and your significant other, just to think about it.
Well, you're like one of my number one stops when I get home, like when I think of home cooked food.
Yes.
You'd be like, oh, let's go somewhere. And I'm like, I could just come to the house. You don't even require alcohol because you don't drink. And I was like, I just got to bring like some lemonade. That's all it requires for like a full meal. Like, I mean, like multiple courses. I'm like,
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I love that you prepare your food with love. Like, I feel like I'm eating food with love in your kitchen.
I think that cooking for people is a really intimate thing for most of us, right? It takes a lot of time and attention for you to decide to prepare something. And so I would hope that people who have experienced my food know that I did it out of love. Unless you came to my cookout, then you were somebody plus one at that point.
Cookouts are epic,
the cookout at this point has gotten so big that, like, you can't really say she loved me because she cooked for me. My birthday cookout is a thing, right? It's like a festival at this point where everybody
I've
comes.
I've never been to a cookout. You're never home.
You're never home.
No, the one year I was invited, I had a really bad, why am I telling this story? I had a really bad hangover from the night before, and I wasn't able to, I was overserved, you should say.
And the cookout was overserved.
I mean, I couldn't do that 2 days in a row. Like, I needed to rest myself. I'm not the age that I used to be, unfortunately. Is there another question from the audience, please? I see a hi. If the mic didn't pick that up, she asked, what has international travel taught me about myself? So I travel internationally like all the time. I've done that my entire life. Actually moving abroad is an entirely different experience. I feel like I'm capable of anything. And I probably was way before I like moved to Ghana, but I didn't know it. Also too, that I'm gonna say this and I hope it doesn't sound arrogant. Hot shit translates in any culture. So, like the idea that like I can go to Ghana and I can start tweeting about Ghana and I have a following that enough people like recognize that like, oh, okay, like she's, who's this girl who's in Ghana? So there were people in Ghana who met me and saw that I was talking about Ghana and then called back to the UK and called back to the States and was like, who is this girl? Like she said she's a blogger, she's a podcaster. Like, is she legit? Like, who is she? And then people can vouch for me like, oh yeah, like she's good. So the same way that I can, you know, come to D.C. and, like, I can throw an event and I can go to all the parties and I know the right people, I can do that in L.A. and I can do that in Paris and I can do that in Ghana and I can do that in London. And that shit is dope. It's dope. It really... I don't mean to flex on them, but I'm a flex on them. Yeah. Yeah. Is there another question? And you have to stand up because I, yes, ma'am. I actually saw your hand. What am I most proud of right now? That's a really weird question for me. I'm proud of many things in theory, but I don't celebrate. We have this conversation all the time. I don't really celebrate wins, and I don't particularly acknowledge them in any other way than to be like, oh, that got done. And then I move on to the next thing. That's a parenting issue. They mean well. That's not who we are as a family. It's not how I was raised. It's like, okay, like you're supposed to get an A. Like you're supposed to do well. You're supposed to set your mind on something. And when you say you're going to do something, you're supposed to do it. And you're supposed to do it at the top of your game. I don't know if that's necessarily healthy, but it's the way that I operate. So we're just being transparent about that. Now you're going to have me like in therapy tomorrow. Like, so this lady... She asked me this question about, like, a second act. Let me say this, okay, to the second act point, now that I'm, like, rolling this around, right? There was a time when I very much felt counted out, and I very much felt it. Like, I felt it socially that people were like, oh, like, you used to be hot, and now you're not. And so, like, you're not on the invite list anymore, you know? I mean, I know this. So maybe, like, the sense of, like, creating Ratchet and Respectable and, like, the things that I've done since then maybe could be considered a second act. But for me, it's just like life. You know, there's ups and downs. And I had some ups. I had some downs. I had some ups. I had some downs I didn't tell y'all about yet. Save that for the book. But that's just the roller coaster of what life is. So it doesn't feel like a second act. It just feels like a continuation of I learned some lessons from the downs. Like I fell, but I got my ass back up. So we keeping it rolling. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Is there another question? Yes, ma'am. Well, okay, in the beige, brown.
So, first of all, I love your podcast.
Thank you.
And, my question, though, is...
What skills were transferable, right? I don't think I sat and did an assessment, right, of which skills were transferable. I had no idea what I was doing when I opened the Spice Suite 8.5 years ago. So I was just like trying to figure out what I was doing and how to make enough money to pay the rent on the space so that I didn't have to come out of pocket. And as I started to get in a space of comfort, which probably took maybe 3 years before I got to a place where I was like really comfortable and I was no longer texting my other friends in education to save me a job. Right. Because for the first couple of years, I would just joke with them, but kind of not really like, hey, like if there's a position open, just, you know, check in with me before the school year starts just in case, because I might, you know, be able to figure this thing out. But maybe around like year 3,
was when I realized that, like, okay, this thing is working, right? That's when I hired my first accountant. So I felt like I had a good grip on, like, the finances of the business. Year four, I think, was when we became a seven-figure business. And then it was like, okay, this is a real thing. And that's when I really sat to figure out, like, not necessarily what skills are transferable, but, like, what does it really take to take this business to the next level and make this a real thing? Because even with the income, I still wasn't, like, not confident isn't the right word, but I still wasn't exactly sure that this was, like, a real business, right? It was like, is this just, like, a popular thing? Is it just, like, hot right now? Is this something that's scalable? Is this something that I can really grow? And so I really started to assess the finances first, right? And I think once I was financially safe, then I could look at, like, all the soft things. So in terms of the transferable skills, I didn't know then, but pretty much all of them were transferable, right? Like, in my position as an assistant principal, my job was to mainly oversee, like, teachers. Like, I spent most of my day in classrooms observing teachers and giving them feedback, right? And then in my role at the Spice Suite, for those of you who know my business model, I have this business model that I trademark is Black and Forth. And Black and Forth is the idea of going back and forth with Black businesses. So I have these Spice Girls. And the Spice Girls are Black women who have their own businesses, who have products that are handmade and uniquely sourced, and they pop up in my shop. And in exchange for them popping up regularly, they, I want to say, quote unquote, like, work at the Spice Suite. So they're the ones who would check you out. And so with them, I don't move in the role of, like, an assistant principal. I'm not observing them. I'm not providing them feedback in a formal way. But I do, I have developed this, like, reciprocal relationship with them where we can give each other feedback, right? And that came from me being an assistant principal and knowing what it feels like to be, like, the person that no one wants to see coming, because it felt punitive. So I knew coming into this role as, I don't even call myself the leader of the Spice Girls, but as a Spice Girl within this group, that I wanted to create a space that did not feel punitive, and it did not feel, it felt like a two-way street. Like, they could give me feedback about my business, I can give them feedback about theirs, because when you're a business owner, there aren't really many people giving you feedback about the inner workings of your business. Customers will give you feedback about your product and your service, but they get to see how I run my business and can look at me and say, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, we've been doing this way, we need to tweak it and do it that way. And I am so grateful to have this, like, inside network of people who aren't scared of me, right? Because typically that exists with employer and employee. They're not my employees. There's nothing for them to lose or gain. You know, like, this is very much reciprocal. And so I've learned so much about myself and my ability to lead and follow through being a Spice Girl and having the Spice Suite. And so that has been, like, the most transferable skill is being flexible enough to lead and follow at the same time.
Yeah. When did you quit your day job?
I opened the Spice Suite. I got the keys to the Spice Suite August 2015. I opened September 2015. I left my job October 31st, 2015.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So months, like within 2 months.
Oh, wow.
September, so 2 months.
Yeah. I was scared to quit. I had a blog, A Bell in Brooklyn. I want to say I started in 2007.
Yeah.
And I got a job. It landed me a job at Essence in November 2007. Oh, maybe I wasn't scared. Oh, let me think about this. Hold on. Because I was like, I got the book deal in June. The book came out in June 2011, and I quit in November because I had the speaking gigs to, like, carry me. But no, but, like, the blog was, like, really successful, but I did the blog, like, while having a full-time job. Like, I was scared. Like, the idea of, like, not having insurance. Everyone's biggest fear.
Everybody's
my father was like, well, what you going to do for insurance? Are you going to quit your good job?
Listen, and insurance is expensive. Insurance is expensive.
I keep talking about it on the podcast because I just had to pay it. And so, like, it's like I'm paying for a lot of things at the same time. Like, writing these big checks, it's not working for my psyche right now. But that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, I think that, like, the scared part, right, about leaving your job, I think you have to really, really deeply believe that what you're leaving your job for is worth it.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that takes some real brutal honesty with yourself, because sometimes I think people are leaving jobs to do things that should not have been monetized. They should have been hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Like, you should have just kept doing that with your homies. You had no business jumping out of Etsy. Like, you should have stayed there.
You should have stayed there. Like, I mean,
It's true.
And that's, I mean, and it's just real, right? It's true. And it's not like, and I say that without any arrogance. Like, that's just the honest truth. And we all know people who are contemplating leaving their jobs to do something, and you aren't courageous enough to tell them, like, you're not there yet. Like, you're not ready yet. And it's not that it won't ever be. It's just like, it's not there yet. Like, it's too premature. And I think we need to be honest with each other and have those conversations, because we're so busy, like, trying to be a good friend and cheer our friends on and not appear as a hater, that we don't leave space for real deep honesty in our relationships. We do it with business. We do it with romantic relationships. The same way we know people that should leave or should stay, but we don't say anything because we don't want to be a bad friend, right? And I think we just need to be honest, because your real friends know when you're coming from a place of, like, love and care and not a space of, like, hatred and arrogance, right? Yeah. So if my real friends came to me and were like, Angel, now listen, girl. Now, I don't know if you should be, like, if my ear had come to me and said, like, I know you want to buy a commercial space, but I don't think, like, that just doesn't make sense right now. Mm. I would listen to her. Yeah. I trust her. She's smart, right? Like, it's like, so you got to be mindful of who you're listening to, too. So sometimes we have this general idea of, like, I'm not listening. Nobody can tell me this.
No.
Your circle is probably trash. Because the people in my circle, if they tell me something, I'm listening because I believe that they're really that smart. Like, they really can check me. And you need to have people in your circle that really can check you and tell you when you're wrong, or tell you when you should be moving or stopping or pausing.
Or pausing, yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When did you feel like a boss? Like, to have your own business is one thing, but, like, when, and I don't mean that in, like, the euphemism sort of it, right? Yeah. But when did you feel comfortable being like, okay, I'm the one in charge and I make all these decisions and these people rely on me and I'm okay with it?
I don't really own that now. My friends who know me well, like, even when we go out, like, we've been out places, and they'll be like, you know, like, they will let us in, just say you are, like, go to the front, tell them who you are.
Oh,
and I'm like,
that.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. Like, I would never, like, assume somebody going to let me have something or let me in somewhere because of who I am. So it's not a self-esteem thing, right? So don't feel like I'm sad and down, right? But because of what I'm about to say, but I also don't see myself the way people see me, right? I am very clear what I've done has been great, and it's been impactful, but I don't see myself as this, like, boss. I don't know. Maybe therapy tomorrow. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow in therapy too. Because I haven't worked through that. But I do know that there is a very clear weight on me to provide that I did not expect when I started the Spice Suite. And I own it because I have to, but I would love to release the burden. Mm.
Yeah, I'm where you are. I'm like, wait, what? You want me to go to the front? Like, will they know who I am? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I could say so many things. I'm not going to. I'm going to move on to the next question. I see a hand. I am from PG County.
With DC, you guys know I love being from here. I love when I speak, you know, in other places I've spoken. You know, I went to speak a guest professor at Xavier in New Orleans. I speak there sometimes. And one of the students came up to me afterwards and he was like, man, hearing your accent made me miss home, right? And so it's like little things like that for me to just make me really, really proud to be from here. But I think what DC has taught me that has translated for me well in business is crew love, right? Like if you're from DC, like actual DC, no shades to the county,
ma'am,
but if you're from DC,
we don't receive
then
it.
You know.
We don't receive it. We don't receive it. We don't receive it.
Not the DMV.
Carry on.
But genuinely, right? If you're from DC, then you know that like DC, like when it comes to like crews, right? Like DC is very crew based, yeah. Right? Like if you're from Kennedy Street, you're from Clifton, you're from 37th, like that means something to you in DC, right? Like that crew like means something, whether all the bad that might come out of it, the good that comes out of that is just like this really deep, love and appreciation for the people that are closest to you in proximity. And so for me, how that translates with like the Spice Girls and the people who come to me, like when people come to the Spice Suite, even if we're in Northeast now, even if they tell me they came from Southeast, I'm from DC. That's a long way, right? Like I'm grateful. Like, man, you came from MLK over to Channing Street. Like I appreciate you.
That's
and then if you came from Clinton and Waldorf, we really appreciate
that's
you.
That's love.
Like, we
that's
really,
long distance. You like, travel.
You travel.
You might as well came
like,
from
you
Philly.
Travel.
That's like,
right?
Yeah. I think for me, it's growing up surrounded by Black excellence. Like I am from gorgeous Prince George's. Just so we're clear. Like. I write DMV and Instagram captions so everybody knows when I claim my location when I come home. It is gorgeous Prince George's. Like, just not PG, Prince George's. Coming from Black excellence, which I very much took for granted because, like, growing up here, that's all I knew, right? But you go other places and you talk about Black folks with, like, federal government jobs or Black folks with, you know, big-ass houses and two cars in the driveway and kids who went to private school. For everyone, that's just not their reality. But that's when growing up, that's all I knew. I'm from Mitchellville, right? So, but just having, like, that base of Black excellence, when I hear other people's perception of what Blackness is, it's like all it is hood, all it is ghetto, all it is brokenness, all it is struggle. And I'm like, I acknowledge that that's part of our narrative, but that's not the only narrative. I try to make a point, like, and people say all sorts of things about me, like I'm bougie, I'm conceited, I'm unrelatable, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, no, for the people who get it, they get it. And that's who I exist for. That's who I show up for, is to speak to that audience or to people who want to be in that space. I have never met anyone who grew up in struggle who wanted to stay there. Everyone is aspirational. Everyone is trying to get to a space. And I love to tell them about the space that I came from, where Black people worked their ass off for everything they got. It wasn't handed to them, but they worked their ass off for everything they got. And they, you know, they bought big ass houses with, you know, high mortgages that the good ass jobs pay for. And I think that that's something to be celebrated. I don't think that that's something to be hidden or to be ashamed of, or it's not Black enough, which is what I heard all the time coming up. It's my reality. And so I claim it. We have time for one more question. I'm getting the signal. Okay. Two more questions. I'm going to take ma'am over here and then we could do ma'am. Okay, there we go. Madame, hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Spice Girl.
What can I ask first? What are you afraid of? Like, what's the... So it's like, not me, just for people in general.
The okay. Others.
Like, the others who may be afraid to travel. Okay. She was like, no, I'm good. I have a passport. Thanks, ma'am. I was asking on behalf of others. Okay.
Asking for a friend.
Like, asking for a friend. Literally for a friend this time. Okay.
I guess I'd have to identify like what the specific, you know, like the same, like what the specific fear was. For me, like travel has been so transformative. It is when I feel the most free. And not just because I'm on like native land, right? Like when I touch Africa, but just the ability to, because for so long I couldn't afford to, or I couldn't take off work to. And so I think that you just like, you got to start somewhere. I mean, y'all know my advice, right? Like start now, perfect later. And that translates to so many things. And so you just start somewhere with travel and then go anywhere, just go somewhere and find what you like and just do more of it. And also don't feel pressured to, right? Like don't feel pressured to try to use your last coin or, you know, to go to travel outside of the country because you see people doing it, because it can be expensive. Like international travel can be expensive. The hype, I think, too, with social media, like everything, like we want to do what everybody else is doing and everybody's traveling and everybody's going somewhere. So it just seems like the thing to do. And while I do believe that travel is such a beautiful transformative experience, I think you just got to do, you got to live life at your own pace, like pace yourself.
I very much agree. I think if you're like terrified to get on a plane, you're terrified to go to another country, don't go. Like, I mean, I know that sounds like, you know, somebody who has like see some world, like, I mean, or not, you know, it's not for everyone. But if you're going to, you know, travel somewhere and you're paranoid the whole time, you're scared the whole time, you don't want to leave the resort, go somewhere you're comfortable. Like I say, see some world, but the world includes like Miami and Atlanta and Las Vegas and LA. Like just get out your comfort zone is what I want people to do.
I'm going to add to that too, right? I feel like a lot of times my homegirl, Jessica Nabongo is the only black woman that have traveled to every country and continent.
Yes,
like just amazing, right? Like Jessica and I met a few years ago and she and I were at dinner recently and we had a conversation where someone was asking her like, where are you scared to travel to, you know, insert country? I don't know what place it is. And I'm like, y'all, we also have to be really mindful when we start thinking about travel of like the propaganda. This country is trash.
Yeah.
Let's be real clear, right? So they're going to make us think that all the other countries are trash, right? I think we all saw recently the travel advisory about Colombia and Jamaica. Like, really?
Really?
Now that we all going to Colombia and Jamaica, now y'all trying to tell us not to travel there because it's scared. I think they're scared that we might leave and not come back.
That part.
Right?
That part.
Just be mindful of that. Like, I've never felt unsafe in any other country, right? Egypt, as close as it is to Syria. Like, people have these fears about traveling places. They love us. Like, they want us there. I mean, if for no other reason but to boost the tourism economy in other countries, like, people really love and appreciate when we travel there. So I would say don't be scared to travel based on people telling you, or the news especially, telling you that a place is unsafe for black people. This country is unsafe for black people.
Yeah. I've been around the world. I've been all over Africa. I've been to a lot of places all over Europe. I have never experienced racism in any other place the way I've experienced here. And also just notable, like, other countries don't, like, shoot up schools or concerts or whatever. Like, in Ghana, I can walk home after dark. I can go to the grocery store at, like, 7 o'clock. I can walk in the dark to the grocery store. I can walk back with my bags. No one's harassing me. No one's jumping out of bushes to, like, assault me. Like, I'm fine. I'm completely, totally fine. In America, I live in the suburbs with my parents. I don't even do that in the suburbs, because I don't feel safe. Also, I would say be mindful of who you get your travel advice from. Because if you listen to travel advisories sometimes, like, things can be very difficult for people who don't share our melanin. But you show up in another place as a black American, and like, our culture translates worldwide. When you show up as a black American, very often people are very happy to see you. They might ask you weird questions. They might be like, Serena. Like, I look nothing like Serena. But, you know, she's international. It's like Beyonce, Michelle Obama. I'm like, they look nothing alike. But here we are. But that's what translates worldwide. So just be mindful of who you get your advice from. Like, if you want to travel, you're scared to go someplace, ask another black woman who's been, who could probably give you better advice than, you know, like the mainstream narrative of what it's like. There was one more question in the corner, I believe.
In the corner. I wasn't sure if I was watching.
No. I feel like you got a testimony, sis. Very specific questions.
For me, I have never been focused on who in my group is supporting the Spice Suite. Right? I am so, so grateful when I go to my friends' houses and I see Spice Suite products in their house. But I'm also not mad at all if I see you cheated on me. Right. Like, if we in an open relationship, and I'm clear about that, right? Like, I know that you might use Spice Suite and use them other people's stuff, but you gonna come back.
Them other people.
Like,
them other people.
I don't even, and that's another thing. I don't even say names of the other companies, not even on my social media. People send to me, like, recently there was some, like, big scandal that came out about some other big spice company that's been using, you know, chemicals in their spices, and it's become a big thing. And I mean, my inbox flooded with it. People telling me to share it, and oh my God, you should let people know about this. And I'm like, people gonna do what they do. I don't spend my time on my page bashing any other brand, because it could also go in the reverse, right? Like, they could use their bigger dollars to then start slandering my brand or saying something. And I don't even have the energy to engage in that, right? Like, so I stay focused on who wants to support me, and I'm grateful for those, and that's who I give my energy to. But talking about people who don't come and support the Spice Suite or come to Black and Forth, even when I meet people, it's almost inevitable that when I meet someone or see someone, they're like, oh my God, I gotta make it over to Black and Forth. And I'm like, I literally always say, we ain't going nowhere. I own it. Right? Like, we're not going nowhere. Like, it's not going anywhere. And I say that to ease people, because I don't ever want people to feel like you can't ask me for something or you can't approach me if you're not supporting me. Right? Like, you don't owe me anything to ask me for something. Like, I'll show up for you anyway. Yeah. Like, what you selling? Like, it doesn't matter to me that much. And so I think that we have to get out of this space of, like, looking for people to support us or bashing people who don't, feeling bad about who isn't there, because there's so much more energy to be put into, like, loving on the people who've been spending their dollars with you and reposting and commenting and sharing, because they really deserve all your energy. The other people might not be there yet. You over here talking about them, and the whole time, you don't know. She could have been saving up her money so that when she does come to the Spice Suite, she can spend a bigger bag, right? Like, you never know why people haven't been, or they really can't afford it. I don't care what she look like, what he looks like. Maybe he really can't afford my spices. They not cheap, and I'm clear about that. So when people don't buy them, I'm never mad about it. But if you bought one thing, I'm so, so grateful. If you reposted one time, I'm so, so grateful. But we really got to get out of that. What's the main people post? Like, your friends will repost Beyonce tickets but haven't been to support your business. They might not like your business. They like Beyonce. Beyonce is really popular. She's great. People love her. They just don't want your t-shirt. You know what I mean? And it just is what it is. And I think we got to be okay with that. Like, we bullying people into supporting us. And that's just wild to me.
I love you. Oh, my God. I love you. I would say to your question about walking on faith, like, it's really just that. It's faith. Sometimes there is no rhyme or reason. Sometimes there is no bigger sign. Like, it's really like, I believe that there's something that is possible for me, and I'm going to try it. I think one thing that's really important, especially as trying to be an entrepreneur, you kind of have to be okay with failure. Everything that you do is not going to be a win. Yeah. Everything that you try is not going to be successful. Like, sometimes every product drop. Well, mine do. But, okay, well, yours too. Like, this I'll order more next time. I'll order more next time, I promise. Faith is just that. I would also say, this is something I learned of all things from watching, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Stay with me. Like, in the early seasons, like, there was, when Candy, I want to say, first got on the show, she was selling dildos. If you notice, like, for that season, everybody had, like, an event of some sort where they were promoting something, they were raising money, they were trying to sell something, and many women on the show were trying to go after a particular clientele. Right? Like, they wanted the fancy people in the room. They wanted the influencers. They wanted the people who had big names, who had a lot of influence. They wanted the politicians, things like that. And so they would have these big events, and they were very beautiful. Everyone would come. Everything was shiny and new, but they would never raise the money that they wanted, right? Candy would do these events, and she would open them up to the public, and everybody would come in, and they would spend their dollars. And that said to me, you could have a fancy event where everything looks really nice, and the pictures are really beautiful, and all the right names are in the room, and be broke. Yeah. Or you could market to the people who want your product. Do they have the money to purchase what you're selling? Are they interested? Do they support your brand? Yeah. Those are the people that you should focus on, them and their network. Because if they get it and they like it, then they'll tell more people about it. And the next time you do an event, more people will show up. And that's my entire business model. So, like, I'm not catering to everyone. It's very beautiful when the fancy names are in the room, but my name is Fancy. Like, I can be the fancy person in the room, but I want the people who are interested in what I'm offering. I want the people who are interested in what I'm talking about, and I want them to tell their circles and their networks and spread the good word, because that's better marketing than anything that I could ever post on social media. Facts.
So that's all of our time, unfortunately.
I know.
Thank you, ladies, so much for coming out. Mercy's coming to take my microphone. But if I can just give another shout out to the venue, Eaton, I really greatly appreciate you. And also Remy for your fabulous drinks. I do appreciate you as well.
Stay right there.
thank you everyone for being seated, for being quiet. Not one phone rang. Y'all are amazing. So another shout out to the bar. We are going to stay and drink to our heart's content. Put the Remy back in your system. Right? Are we not allowed to quote it? Is this on the podcast now? Okay, I don't know. That's the topic.
In now.
Okay, so, yeah. Thank you for listening. Okay. Stop recording.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.